Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news ad free. That's amazon.com/news ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Hello and welcome back to the Thistle Scottish Rugby Podcast. Another week, one pro team win, one pro team loss in typical fashion. And there's plenty for us to talk about with the Women's Six Nations as well. And we've got two special guests over and above our usual commentators, Alan and Matt. We've been joined by Jamie Dobie and Gary Heatley, who are going to be joining us to help us talk through the latest in Scottish rugby. But Matt, how are you, mate? You all right?
Yeah, all good. Managed to miss the Edinburgh game at the weekend, but watched the Glasgow. So I was a bit sour by the end, but at least we got one win.
Did the exact same. Missed the good game, watched the bad game. Alan, I think you were the same as well.
Yes, although I think from looking at the sort of conditions, the Glasgow game was potentially the good game for the neutral, but potentially the bad game if you're obviously a fan of Scottish rugby.
An ultra, such as we are.
Yeah, no, I was up, man. I was a bit hungover from the old pod dinner. The early Negroni hit me hard, and I was in the park trying to be sort of, you know, I was under pressure from my partner, trying to look like I was fully engaged with our child when actually behind the eyes there was nothing. I was almost asleep.
Well, sorry, my brain's not working very well here. What was I going to take us on to talk about?
Harley.
The news. Yeah.
Harley, oh, yeah. Let me just do. Well, moving on from your brain fog, there has been a couple of bits of Scottish rugby news this week, all coming out of Glasgow. One Scottish rugby legend who is staying, Richie Gray, and one Scottish rugby legend who is leaving, Rob Harley. Matt, I think, particularly in the context of the Glasgow game, which we'll talk about later on. I mean, Richie Gray, perhaps a surprise that he's sticking around for another season?
Yeah, I mean, I suppose it depends on how much money they're paying him. But,
yeah,
I mean, to be fair, I think one of the concerns when he signed was that he has been quite injury prone, but he has managed to string together quite a lot of games for Glasgow and become a bit of a fixture, really, alongside Cummings, I think when Danny Wilson picks his top team. And I think he's actually been, when the news came out, I was a bit like, you know, if they're paying him a lot of money, is this the best use of resources? But I actually think for Glasgow, he's lost some of maybe his dynamism, but he's still like incredible at the line out. He's got most steals in the URC this year. And his work rate is still really, really high. So I think he's a pretty good guy to have around still.
Yeah, absolutely. And Alan, Rob Harley, leaving after 260 games for Glasgow. Absolute stalwart, but perhaps the right time for him to sort of bid farewell to Glasgow.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't sound like it was his choice, I would say.
No, he's talking about another gig, isn't he? He's not retiring, yeah.
Obviously, he's still, I think he's assistant coach at the Ayrshire Bulls as well. But yeah, he's definitely speaking about sort of carrying on his playing career somewhere else. Specifically, I saw something about France today, which, to be fair, I imagine he's the sort of player that probably in like Pro Dida could like do pretty well, I'd say.
Yeah.
So now, I have to admit, I remember when he sort of first came on the scene, must have been like back sort of 2010, sort of tight, 2010, 2011. And if you'd said to me then that he would be one of, if not sort of the greatest sort of Glasgow Warriors player of sort of the last decade, I would have laughed a little bit and said, give me something of what you're drinking. But no, I think, you know, ultimately he's clearly been an absolute stalwart of their team. You know, when you look back to that Pro 12 final, he was such like a central component of that Glasgow team and that sort of transition from what is like ultimately a mid-table side to being, you know, ultimately winning the championship. So, you know, obviously sad to sort of see him go, but I think ultimately for them, he's been a bit of almost the perfect player where he's been good enough and a good club player, but almost kind of just off being that international standard.
I wonder if with racked up that's 20. Now, sorry, that's now Harley and McDonald going. I wonder if that McDonald going to Wasps next year. I wonder if that means Glasgow or I mean, I suppose they signed that JP Dupree guy, but I wonder if they got sort of another signing in or whether they're putting their faith in youth. I was just looking at the Pro D2 table. I could see Rob Harley going to like Carcassonne, which I have no idea where it is. And then the narrative being that in like 2 years' time, he'll become this sort of a like cult figure and will be playing in the top 14 against Finn, for instance.
Yeah. I can see that. I like that narrative.
No, I could see that. I could see him being a bit of a cult man now. I think Carcassonne's down by Toulouse in the south of France. Have a real nice life.
And I think with regards to signings, I don't know whether it was forced out of him sort of after in the press conference after that really disappointing result for Glasgow at the weekend, but Danny Wilson was talking an awful lot about, you know, summer signings and business still to be done in reshaping the Glasgow squad to sort of help them compete a bit more in the tail end of the URC and in Europe. So I think you're probably right that I think Harley and McDonald will be joined by quite a few others, perhaps making room for some new additions.
I think there probably does look like there needs to be another signing in the second row place, just sort of having a think about the depth, and you've got what someone like Hamish Bain, for example.
Yeah.
But I can't really think of too many other players that they've got available like to them at that sort of younger level.
Gregor Brown, who I think might be coming back from injury now. Hamish Bain was playing for Ayrshire Bulls at the weekend against Jersey.
Oh, yeah.
But apparently he... So Hamish Bain and Ratu Tungive were playing, but Ayrshire didn't announce their team for some reason, but the Jersey Reds did in their social media, so I don't know what that was all about.
And they lost quite convincingly.
They lost by 25, maybe.
Yeah. Although Jersey, to be fair, are sort of what, top four, top five now in the championship? It's like a relatively strong side. But yeah, you'd think, given the fact that Kieran McDonald and Rob Harley are both off, you probably need a little bit, at least one more sort of veteran second row to sort of come in and sort of bolster that that pack.
Hamilton Burr?
Hamilton Burr would be nice. Although, obviously, I guess now he seems to be sort of taking up that sort of flanker role. I felt a bit sorry for him. Obviously, he had his debut and then he's got COVID now. So he was out for the second match at the weekend. But ultimately, if you're good enough to start a seven for the Chiefs in Super Rugby, you should have a contract in Scotland. Like, that's
get him
just
in,
like
get him in the national team.
Yeah.
Are you joking? He's clearly incredible.
Yeah. So hopefully that is a good shot, because I'm trying to remember he did sort of cover both sort of second row and flank when he was playing in the Premiership, right?
I think he did, yeah. I think he's the sort of person that you might see in that wider summer tour squad. But we will come back on to talk an awful lot more about Clubland. And as I said at the top, we have been joined by Jamie Dobie to preview the Zebra game on Friday night. But there's plenty to be talking about in the women's game. And we are going to be joined by Gary Heatley. Yes, we've been, as discussed, we've been joined by a prominent rugby journalist, is what I'm going to call you, Gary. You cover all facets of sport in Scotland, but particularly taking a close look at the women's Six Nations. How are you, Gary?
That's a great intro, so I'll take that. Yeah, I'm doing well, thanks.
Good stuff. And so let's start by looking back at the first game of the Six Nations for the women at the Dam Health Stadium. Didn't go, I suppose, particularly to plan. 57-5 to England. As a bit of an opening gambit, I mean, can we take much out of that? I mean, it's well known that England are the best team in the world, and, you know, Scotland aren't, you know, they're an improving side, but they're not sort of operating in the same sort of gravitational field as England. You know, what do you think the girls can take from that game sort of going forward into the rest of the tournament?
As probably Rachel Malcolm said after the game, there's positives from the second half performance. I mean, it was 38-5 at half time. You know, it was looking a bit daunting. But second half, they create a few more chances. I think they'd taken a couple of those, that would have been a lot better. There was one disallowed try for a knock on and a few other close things. But yeah, first half, I think they were just, Brian Easton said, you know, they sat off England a bit. Although England are the best team in the world, they had the bonus point by 26 minutes. I think it was tries 3 and 4 within the space of 2 minutes. And, you know, you just can't. Yeah, they're so clinical, England. But so I think the girls have been disappointed with the first half performance. But yeah, second half, they can take a lot of positives. And I think the crowd was just short of 4,000, which was encouraging. And, you know, a lot of, you know, young girls and boys there and stuff. So I guess that was encouraging. It was a, you know, it's a good stadium now, I think, for them going forward. I know they're playing France at Scotland, but hopefully they'll make the Dam Health perhaps their sort of home going forward. But yeah, so they'll take things from it. There was only, I think, one sort of major injury was Lisa Coburn. The replacement prop went off with a knee injury, so I think she could be out for a spell. But apart from that, I think everyone else was okay. So, yeah, they'll not take tons from it, I guess. It's probably the score most people probably thought. But I think this Wales game coming up is probably the big one they've been targeting.
Wales obviously opened up their campaign with the victory against Ireland. I mean, what can Scotland expect from this Wales team at the weekend?
Scotland have had very close games with Wales the last 4 or 5 years, but I think this is a very changed Wales setup. I mean, last year they were absolutely awful. Scotland beat them 27-20 to give Wales the wooden spoon in that sort of shortened tournament last year. And I think that was kind of line in the sad moment for Wales rugby. So they've got a whole new coaching setup. We've got 12 professional players, 12 players on retainer contracts. And certainly the way they play against Ireland showed that with the sort of fitness in the second half and the way their bench came on and made an impact. You know, albeit they scored the last 2 tries when Ireland were down to 14 players, but to go to Ireland to win when they came off the back of such a bad year last year, I think they're an improving side. So I think Wales are up to 10th in the world, Scotland are 9th. And as I say, games previously have been very close. So this, also in October, they'll play each other in the first pool game in the World Cup in New Zealand. So yeah, I think this could be a bit of a sort of marker for both teams to see where they're at, and also it could be quite a tasty match.
Are there any changes you expect Brian Easton to make, or do you think he'll kind of stick to a pretty settled side?
Yeah, I mean, the team he picked last week was probably his strongest and most experienced. I say Lisa Coburn picked up an injury when she came on, so we haven't had the result of her scan yet, or we've not been told that. So whether she's available or not, I know last week there was illness and COVID ruled out 3 players, and you know, there may well be others this week. So we'll have to wait and see. But he wouldn't want to make too many changes. I guess one he might make, Shona Campbell, the 20-year-old Edinburgh Uni winger, came on and did very well in the second half. She's very quick. She's played for GB Sevens. So she may get a first start, perhaps, if he's looking to try and be a bit more expansive. But tend to go with their most experienced starting 15 and then blood some of the youngsters from the bench. But I think the benches, as I say about the Wales one in Ireland, I think the benches are now, women's rugby is just as important as the men's game. You know, you really have to have eight strong players on there to come on in the second half. So yeah, I'll be interested to see what the squad is shaping up like.
Where do you think Scotland could or will try and target Wales in the match? Where do you think they might have sort of a bit of an upper hand?
Yeah, I mean, I think the Scotland pack was very good in scrum and line out against England, especially, I'd say, that second half. So I think the pack, if it can stay intact, will be feeling pretty confident going down there. And I just think sometimes they need to be perhaps a bit more, take a few more risks in the backs or a bit more expansive. And they've got some great runners like Lisa Thompson and Chloe Rowley at fullback, and sometimes they just don't get enough ball. So hopefully they can, if the pack can play the way they did against England and get it on the front foot, then I think that's where they can target Wales. And also, I think, Wales will feel under a bit of pressure. You know, it's a big result in Ireland now. There's a lot more talk about women's rugby in Wales this week. I think they've sold over 3,000 tickets for the Cardiff Arms Park. So I think, as much as they'll be saying, that's great, we've got a home game and their families and friends will be there, that'll be added pressure for them. So I think Scotland can play on that a bit as well and maybe try and get off to a fast start.
Just looking sort of at women's rugby in Scotland, obviously the SRU released their sort of strategic plan, which had sort of three key pillars of well-being, women and winning. I guess, obviously England's got their sort of, pretty successful league. Wales have started to give out contracts. Where do you see the Scotland, the SRU sort of taking the women's game? What do you think they need to do to sort of get them into maybe a slightly more competitive position when it comes to people like England, France, New Zealand, etc.?
Yeah, I mean, it's been quite strange because, 2016, Jade Conco was the first full-time pro from two Scottish rugby. Then Chloe Rowley, Lisa Thompson followed her. They all went out to France and played. And then they went to England and played, and it seemed like a sort of pathway. Now there's kind of, 15, 16, 17 of the squad are down in England playing in the Premier 15s, but they're not all based down there full-time. They're a lot of them travelling up and down the road from their jobs, etc. And currently, at the start of this tournament, we were told that, there's 35 players in the Scottish rugby have individual packages that suit their lives, but, that's very kind of difficult to pinpoint exactly what that means, whether it's financial or otherwise, in terms of support. So I thought maybe after they qualified for the World Cup in the end of January, start of February, there might be a kind of, again, a line in the sand moment where they would announce more funding or more contracts. Maybe that's still to come after this tournament. But I think with what Wales have done, they've kind of maybe upped the ante a bit for the countries behind England, France, New Zealand. So, it'll be interesting to see what happens after the Six Nations with the sort of 3-4 months before the World Cup, if, more kind of full-time contracts are handed out so people can properly concentrate before they head to New Zealand. So, it'll be interesting to see.
Looking ahead, at the end of the tournament, what do you think constitutes success for the women's side? Because it seems like things have been building nicely. You've got more players in the Prem 15s, World Cup qualification, obviously, but, what's like the next step for this group of players?
Yeah, I mean, I think they've, won 5 out of their last 7 tests, which is, pretty unheard of, really, in recent times, albeit that's been in different competitions. But, I was looking back on the last sort of 2 Six Nations have obviously been shortened because of COVID and then just because it was a different tournament last year. I think 2017, they won 2 matches. They really need to be looking at that or more. I mean, it's obviously the tough year for Scotland, like it was for the men, with only 2 home games, and that's against England and France. But these away games, Wales this week, and then Ireland and Italy, those games they've really got to target to win. And they've, the team has built up confidence before. They seem to lack that if they got off to poor starts in games. But they're a lot more experienced now. There's over 50 caps and things now. So I really think two wins has to be the kind of benchmark. And I think, as a lot of people are saying, third to sixth in this tournament behind England and France is wide open. So, if they can aim for third spot, really, that has to be the aim so that they can then build into the World Cup.
And then looking at the World Cup, obviously, difficult pool, I guess. Do you see any scope for them sort of getting into the knockout stages at all?
Well, I think the good thing is that the first game is against Wales. So, whichever one of those two countries wins that game, can then... the New Zealand game for both teams is probably, a given for New Zealand. But, I've not seen Australia play a lot of 15s. I mean, I'm sure they're relatively good, but they play play a lot more sevens and put a lot more stock into sevens. I'm sure by the time the World Cup comes around, they'll have their full 15 squad out. But if whoever wins that first pool game, you know, there's two spots go through. So, yeah, whoever can win that Scotland-Wales game, I think will, you know, at least has the Australia game to really target. So yeah, I think that's why this game this weekend in Wales is obviously important for the Six Nations, but has quite big importance for just where Scotland are at. I think, you know, you don't want to put too much stock on one game, but I think, you know, it would give a big confidence boost to either team to win this ahead of the game in October.
All right. Well, Gary, thanks very much for joining us. As you say, plenty to look forward to, not just this weekend against Wales, but then with the World Cup further down the line. And we'll be sure to get you back on to talk about that soon enough. All right, great to have Gary on there, giving us some insight into the women's game. And we will, of course, be covering the rest of the Six Nations and looking forward to the World Cup throughout the rest of the year. Scotland-Wales, 4:45 kickoff on Saturday, coverage on the BBC. Good to have it on terrestrial TV. So make sure you check that out. And we will be covering it on our Twitter at Thistle Rugby Pod. But let's go back to Clubland. I think we all admitted up front in the pod that none of us watched the Edinburgh game live. But Matt, I'll come to you. You know, going to Durban, going to King's Park, coming away with a 21-5 victory. Edinburgh got me absolutely delighted with that.
Yeah, definitely. And I think considering it was, as you say, an away journey to South Africa where no URC team this year, no non-South African team this year has won. And given that weather as well, a pretty sort of un-Edinburgh setting, for them to come away with the win is really, really impressive.
And Blair Kinghorn putting one between the eyes of the haters?
I mean, I suppose if you take away most of the kicking duties from Blair Kinghorn, you have a very good attacking rugby player, which it is maybe the reason why Townsend is as fast-tracked him. I don't know. But I saw Edinburgh as well have, you know, on the back of that win with, I wouldn't say a skeleton squad, but not their full squad, have since flown out McInally, Gilchrist, Graham, and one other, maybe Schumann? Nell. And you're like, okay,
yes,
right. That looks pretty good odds for a win against the Lions, and that's an extremely successful Triple A.
Yeah, absolutely. And cementing them right at the top of the URC. And we were just talking about it, watching the sort of the behind the scenes stuff that Edinburgh are putting out. Alan, seems like good vibes around Edinburgh at the moment. They seem to have moved on a lot from the sort of the quite grim and grisly days under Richard Cockerell.
Do you think Rory Sutherland's sort of now under like the diamond sort of like authority, and he's just looking back at those videos like, oh, I've made.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/news ad free. That's amazon.com/news ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The terrible mistake.
Sure, 300 bags a year, keeping him warm at night.
I'm sure, 300 bags goes a long way when you get back to Hoik as well.
Exactly.
I completely agree. I was watching the video and I thought both, you know, ultimately, obviously, this is like created by Edinburgh Rugby, right? So they can obviously do a lot to sort of frame it however they want.
State propaganda.
Yeah. But no, I do think a lot of the sort of commentary coming out seems good, and I actually think that Mike Blair just actually gets more impressive, sort of the more interviews he does. And clearly he's a guy who's quite sort of, you know, clearly has sort of high standards, but is generally quite a sort of relaxed character. And actually it was interesting seeing sort of Callum McRae get a bit of airtime, because I actually think he comes across really well. And when you look at that match against the Sharks, sort of on paper to keep the Sharks down to sort of one score, clearly shows that defence was working well, right? With to your point, Matt, not a full strength squad.
I love Edinburgh bringing back the Gunners as well, which you saw from that video. Like, we remember when we went to the Stonex Stadium, and a few of the subs were sort of cheering on, saying "Come on, Gunners," and that seems to have been sort of properly taken on by the squad, including in their victory song that Connor Boyle was leading in that video you were talking about.
Yeah, I like the Gunners. Let's bring it back.
It's better than just Edinburgh Rugby.
Gunners has got big like throwback from like the Mireside days, like the Todd Blackadder Gunners, the Mireside Meadowbank Gunners, which I love. It's retro now. That's why it's making a comeback, I suppose. As you say, Edinburgh against the Lions coming up. I mean, they're really dining at the top table of URC. But Matt, I don't know how much of the South African sides and the Lions you've seen, but Edinburgh have got to be going into that. Lions, I think, sitting ninth in the table. Edinburgh have got to be going into that looking to come back with two wins from the Southern Hemisphere.
Yeah, I think so. I think that Sharks on paper is a harder game, and they've got more players in the South African squad. I mean, you know, they had Khaleesi starting, like beating them is no mean feat. So I think that I wonder if Blair will actually change things at all, because I know those guys have flown out, but you think those guys, the guys who are playing against the Sharks have earned their shot. So I think they'll definitely be aiming for another win, and as I say, to come away from South Africa with two wins is pretty impressive, really.
Dizzy, the Lions did pump the Ospreys at the weekend, but so they're clearly in a little bit of form, and I guess because they do play at altitude, it's can sort of make a little bit of a difference. You know, ultimately the Sharks are still by the coast, so don't know how much that will sort of impact a lot of the players, and I guess just make sort of the bench that just a little bit more important, right?
All right, geography nerd.
Apologies for knowing that Durban's on the coast, all right?
Yes, well, Edinburgh sitting in fifth. I lied. The Lions are actually sitting down in 12th with the Ospreys in ninth. But all of what we said stand. We should be hoping to see a big Edinburgh win. Glasgow welcoming Basement Dwellers Zebra to Scotstoun on Friday night. You can still get your tickets for that from just £15 for standing tickets, seating starting at £27. So get yourself onto the SRU website, and we will put a link to the ticketing within the show notes for the show as well. To help us look ahead to that game against Zebra, we were joined by Jamie Doby, who joined us a little bit earlier, and here's what he had to say. All right, delighted to be joined on the line by Glasgow scrum half, Jamie Doby. Jamie, how are you, mate?
Good, thank you. Thanks for having me on.
No, not at all. How are feelings in camp today? News that breaking today, Richie Gray's joining for another season. Good news. Welcome by the boys, was it?
Yeah, very. We've actually been off today, but I think that's good for everyone at the club. It's good to have someone with his experience and his size and line out prowess sticking around. So no, that's really good for everyone, actually.
Glad to see you. Good stuff. And then obviously Zebra coming up this weekend, but What's the feeling in camp this week? Obviously, disappointing result at the weekend. Bit frustrating to sort of let the game get away from you in the second half.
Yeah, I think that's the basis of it. I think we feel like, looking back on it, and at the time we felt in total control. I think up until that sort of 55 minute mark, and then it was just sort of a swing of momentum and we didn't help ourselves. We sort of piggyback mistakes and let them back into the game. And I think, from the position we were in and how comfortable in the rugby we were playing, actually, there was some really good stuff, scored some lovely tries to then go on to concede. And the game just got away from us, and we just sort of in that last 10 minutes, we were always chasing and playing in our own half, not much chance. So I think it was one, it was tough to look back on, and we know that it was one that got away from us. It would have been lovely to get the 5 points. So instead of coming away with two, this could have been worse, but definitely frustrating this week.
Yeah, and obviously still riding high in the URC, and I don't mean to focus on the negatives too much. I guess that sort of up and down, would that be a sort of fair assessment of how Glasgow have been going this year? It seems like, you know, you get a great result and then it's followed sort of by a slightly disappointing one. Is that something that's sort of being talked about in camp?
I think it's obvious to see from some of the results. Even recently, obviously, that result of the weekend in Cardiff, we were down in Scarlets a few weeks ago. There's a few results that have been sort of lower points in the season, if say, but they've also been matched with, as you say, we've had some really good wins. I think during the Six Nations period, we had obviously Munster at home, they're really big wins, and then it's been frustrating at times we've not been able to back that up when we've travelled away. So I don't think it's not panic of that. We're still sitting in that top four spot in the league, which is good for the moment. And there's only coming to the back end of the season. We've only got 4 games left, I think, in the regular season. So it's still in a good position. But as you say, I think when you look back and there's these games where, particularly away from home, as I'm saying, that we've maybe not done ourselves justice from the positions we've even been in the first half, just not backing that up. And then we've left a few points out there for sure.
What's your personal goals for the rest of the year, Jamie, both kind of like club and from a country perspective?
Yeah, I think there's still, obviously, what I said, there's 4 games still to go in this league, and we want to be pushing, staying in this top four and ultimately pushing into the top two. You want to be, if you can, securing that home game for the playoffs. So personally, I think, it's just making these opportunities count. I think it's nice to be back playing some more rugby. I think there was the start of the season and throughout the middle, maybe wasn't getting on the pitch as much as I'd like to be, and that can be frustrating at times, as it can be for everyone. So taking the chances we've got, maximising the points we can get. We've obviously only got this one last home game this Friday night against Zebre. And then we're away in South Africa. So I'm wanting to take the chances and then, as you say, hopefully push to get back into that Scotland squad. Obviously wasn't involved in this most recent Six Nations. But considering the amount of rugby I'd played between the autumn campaign and into the Six Nations, that wasn't surprising. I think it's fair. And just to reward boys that are playing well and playing plenty of minutes. So it's hopefully getting on the pitch as much as I can and doing with that to push for summer.
Just out of interest, how much Premiership or Super Six rugby have you played, if any? Have you only ever played school and professional?
That's right. It's a bit crazy. I went straight from school. So that was the 2019 World Cup. I moved across to Glasgow. So obviously Ali and George were away. So I was thrown right into the deep end. First game of senior men's rugby was pre-season game away in Ulster at the King's Band was my first taste of men's rugby. Which seems a bit crazy. I didn't play any of it at school. And since then, I was meant to play one Super Six game in my first season, but it got snowed off. Classic. So, I've literally just been schoolboy and then into Glasgow and game there. It is crazy, yeah.
When you sort of compare it to someone like Rob Hardley, who's had to grizzle his way through sort of the Premiership rugby ranks, I guess, you know, how much of an influence is he on the squad, and you know, how has it been in camp this week with him sort of obviously announcing that he's going to be departing at the end of the year?
Yeah, I think that's obviously massive. He is everyone's sort of saying it and it's very cliche in that, but he is the epitome of a warrior. That man, like, he does everything to help himself, to help the team, to help the whole squad, and he's massive. He's obviously, I think he's on 260 games at the moment, which is ridiculous considering someone, we were speaking to someone the other day, and we were, well, he's been there 12 years, so that's over 20 games a season consistently for all 12 years. And that's from the age of, well, I was a nine, would have been 19 then, I think he must have started. So considering to keep your body and your mind fit and healthy to go through that many games, plus I think he's got 22 Scotland caps in between that, is ridiculous. So having someone like that around the squad is massive. He's someone you can look up to. He's always there to chat to about anything rugby related. He's always a good laugh as well. I'm next to him in the changing room at the moment, so I'll be missing him next year. But yeah, it's obviously tough to see someone who's such a big part of the squad move on. But I think we sort of obviously hope, well, hopefully this isn't our last home game on Friday. Hopefully we move into the playoffs at home. But if this is his last time playing at Scotstoun, I think it's important for all of us who are playing to give that little bit extra for him, because he's given so much to the squad and to everyone there.
Yeah, absolutely. And looking ahead to Zebra on Friday, big game at Scotstoun. You know, what does an Italy week look like? You know, obviously, is it the case that, you know, only a bonus point win will do when you've got one of the Italian sides coming to Scotstoun? And does that have its own sort of, like, I guess, like, unique pressure in that, you know, you're not going to get tapped on the back for being like, well done, you beat one of the Italian sides. What is there a sort of different mindset with a team like Zebra coming to Scotstoun?
I don't know if too much changes. You're not wanting to get ahead of yourselves at all. I think that would be when it becomes dangerous. Obviously, Zebra have struggled recently, and I don't think they've won a game this season in the URC. So that can always be challenging, because they'll be wanting to get off that donut. So but the focus main and last, I think the first thing is to get the win. You want to get 4 points, and then you want to secure that as early, well, not secure that as early on in the game, but you know what I mean. And then you can push for that fifth point. I don't think, you don't talk too much about only being 5 points. I think if we can certainly target the win, and then from there, that point in the game where you're pretty solid, to be able to push to get those four tries and get 5 points. That's what you want. I think if we don't come away with 5 points, we might feel a bit down. I think at this point of the season, especially with it being our last home game, that will be ultimately what we want to come away with. It would be good for us in the league position and in the conference. But I think it could be dangerous if you get too far ahead of yourselves. I think Italian teams can be dangerous.
Yeah, you don't want to end up like Wales in the, getting caught short in the Six Nations. And then just, I suppose, on the URC, you talked about, we've got Zebra on Friday, and then to look beyond that, the sort of two game tour down to South Africa. You know, as a sort of young pro, that sort of opportunity to test yourself against like the Stormers and the Bulls, that's got to be pretty exciting. And that sort of shakeup of the fixture list, sort of making it a little bit more international. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, no, I'm buzzing, actually. I think it's a great trip to be on. I think I actually made my debut for Glasgow out in South Africa when it was Cheetahs at the time in Bloemfontein. We got hosed by about 30 that day. So that was a bit of a shock.
Welcome along.
Yeah, exactly. It was a bit. But so I think obviously the South African teams at the start, maybe when they were up in Europe, I think the Northern Hemisphere teams, I think everyone was sort of doing pretty well against them. But when people have been touring Edinburgh, obviously the first team to win down there last weekend, so it's going to be tough. Stormers and Bulls, both teams are on fire, especially if the conditions suit them. We'll see how hot it is down in Cape Town, and then I think we're a bit of altitude up in Durban. So it'll be tough. And with back end of the season, you want to be getting some points from those games. But yeah, it's a cool opportunity. I think everybody wants to be going to South Africa and playing in those games.
Yeah, and then I suppose just to looking way ahead in your fixture list, you come back to that and then you sort of dive straight into Edinburgh. How good was it to get one over them in the first sort of leg of the 1872 a couple of weeks ago?
Yeah, that was good, actually. No, that was real good. think it's one of the big games that everybody looks for. Obviously, it was a bit different. Normally, they're sort of around the Christmas period, aren't they?
So yeah,
to have it during the Six Nations, it's testing both squads' depth. And actually, it was cool. Obviously, you're playing against a lot of boys that you know. I was at school with Matt Curry for 7 years. It's the first time I've ever played against him, actually, but it's nice to get, obviously, one up over Edinburgh, but one up over your mates as well. It's always good. So we'll be looking forward to, think the return fixture at Murrayfield will be big. Last game of the regular season, I can imagine at that point it'll be important for both teams. So there's no doubt that that'll be a big fixture and everybody will be up for that one.
Good stuff, Jamie. Look, we'll let you go. Thanks very much for coming on and joining us, and all the best on Friday night. So good to hear from Jamie there. Little bits of insights. You'll be delighted to know that off the record, he didn't give us any details about Night Out Gate. Matt, we did ask him about whether, you know, 5 points is a prerequisite for an Italian team coming to Scotstoun, but, you know, he gave a very diplomatic answer. But realistically, it's got to be a 5-pointer for Glasgow, particularly after that disappointing match against Cardiff.
Yeah, it has to be. I saw that the URC, or maybe it was Glasgow, has sort of released a head-to-head graphic of the two over the years, and Glasgow, it seems, have never lost to Zebre. So, yeah, I think the win and a bonus point win is the minimum, really. I think the fact it's at home again, last home game of the season, I'm pretty confident. I think Danny Wilson should put out a pretty full strength team again. I'm pretty confident they should be able to do the business. Although it does feel like in this season they've been so inconsistent that to break that 18 game duck would be quite a sort of Danny Wilson Glasgow thing.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully not. Although to your point, just thinking back to that sort of capitulation in Treviso last year, when it was sort of, I think they were sort of 40-0 down at one point. But I actually think, sort of just looking back to the game this weekend, you know, Glasgow should have won that game, and they should have won it quite comfortably.
Oh, yeah.
You know, when they got sort of 50 minutes, I actually thought Glasgow were going to sort of run away with it. And, you know, there was just that clear shift in momentum around sort of the 52, 53 minute mark, and then Cancellieri.
do you want to have a fourth and fifth go at that, Alex?
Yeah, one more time.
The right
Cancellieri.
The right wing got yellow carded.
Consiglieri, I think, is what you're not aiming for.
Yeah, and the game just completely shifted. And Glasgow just weren't able to get back in the match. And it's annoying because I think when you look at sort of, especially from sort of 10 to 50 minutes, Glasgow were in such complete control and so dominant. You know, Sam Johnson's try was just so easy. Kyle Steyn was sort of making breaks with fun. It's annoying that Glasgow didn't seem to have sort of the leadership or the sort of direction to be able to kind of take back control of that match.
Little quiz for you. Zebre played 12, lost 12. What do you think their points difference is? I'll buy a pint for the man who's closer.
Their overall points difference.
Overall points difference. 12 games lost.
303
from Alan. Matt?
250.
Alan takes it at 303. It's minus 291, which averages out at around about 23 points a game. So you'd hope Glasgow can, you put it in the category of, if Glasgow can't beat this team at home, #Wilson out, we're marching on Scotstoun, surely.
You say that, but they're still fourth, right? Which, you know, ultimately, they're likely going to get into the playoffs. You'd think probably they're going to win maybe, what, one of the two matches they've got down in, in South Africa, and then they've got sort of the 1872. And I do think this is the sort of Glasgow team that, to the point, could lose to Zebre, but then could potentially take down an Ulster or a Munster. potentially not a Leinster, but I think they do have the firepower to beat some of those kind of the big Irish teams if they're on it, and you know, someone like Price is firing. So it's interesting to see what they can do.
It will certainly be very interesting to see what they can do. As I say, that is on Friday night at Scots, and get onto the Glasgow Warriors website and get some tickets if you fancy that one. We will be back next week. We'll be talking about those games and, of course, how the women got on in their big game against Wales at the weekend. In the meantime, please do follow us on social media. That's Twitter at Thistle Rugby Pod, Instagram Thistle_Rugby_Pod, and Matt's newsletter, the hottest property in Scottish rugby, is on Substack. You can get that there. It's thistlescottishrugbypodcast.substack.com, or just search for it on Google, and we'll put a link into the show notes in your app as well. So until then, have a good weekend, and we will speak to you very soon. Cheers.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.